For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hello, everyone, and welcome into the second annual Grippies, the number one award show in disc golf.
It's only the second time we've done this?
Yep. The mark, I think the mark, yep.
It's only the second time we've tried.
Yes.
So that's fair. Okay. I was thinking about that yesterday, and I was like, I know this is only the second time we've tried at this. I think the first time we just like,
I think we just kind of did end of year awards. Yeah. This is the second. Yeah, this
branded,
is the Grippies.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. In the grip locked era, that is.
That is true.
Well, this is the first Grippies of the grip locked era.
It's like, how there was like NFL championships before they were the Super Bowl? That was our first awards.
Yes.
That's what those are.
I don't even remember those.
Fake awards. Yeah.
Fake awards. No one won anything because we didn't send anything out.
Yeah.
Now we send stuff out.
Yeah.
This officially marks the end of the season, and as sad as that is, it's also exciting because it's the start of the off-season.
I cried for hours last night.
And
I heard you.
Off-season grip lock is a whole different animal. If this is your first off-season with us, buckle up. We're very excited.
Off-season grip lock is my favorite time of year.
Every year we talk about off-season grip lock, like, you don't even know what to expect.
You don't
even
know what to
expect. And guess what? That's because we don't even know what to expect.
You guys would make stuff up. You would never guess what's going to happen.
Yeah, if you were in the planning meetings, man, woo-wee.
You would be like, where is everybody?
You'd be like, why am I the only one at this meeting? This year's Grippies are presented by the Heiser Club, loyal fan base over on patreon.com/foundationdiscgolf. You can actually now become a free member over there get limited access to certain behind the scenes things, such as what's next month's contest going to be, the first mailbag of the month every month, a few behind the scenes posts here and there, and get a little taste for it so you can see, do you actually want to go up to that next level and get all of the behind the scenes content, because stuff is being posted there each and every day, whether it's behind the scenes clip at the warehouse, exclusive videos each and every month, a weekly podcast called The Mailbag, and a bunch of stuff in between.
If you want to feel like you work at Foundation, just join our Patreon, because Jason basically will make it feel like you work at Foundation.
Mm-hmm. Without the labor.
Yeah, you don't have to do labor.
You just get to see what it's like.
And you get on payroll.
I'm actually just a Heiser Club member. I don't get paid.
That'd be an interesting strategy. We'll just... Heiser Club members will all make a penny a year.
It'll be like the MVP Open. You pay and you come work for us.
Yeah. Oh, I forgot about that. Did we nominate that for Firefest of the year?
I think last year we did, yeah.
Makes sense.
This year people liked it more, so we didn't. But let's just get right into it. We're going to kick it off with the Breakout Player of the Year to break out this episode.
Ooh. Wow, puns
I love
already.
It, hun.
And our nominees. Our nominees for the MPO side, we have Isaac Robinson. Really solid player last year. Broke onto the scene a little bit more this year.
Yeah, he's a classic case of was already good, got even better than you would have ever expected.
Yeah. Another one of those, it's a little bit of a smaller scale. We have Sir Aaron Gossage.
Gooseman. Really, really been an emerging player.
Mm-hmm.
Brody Smith said he is the best player on tour off
the
tee.
If he can putt. Yeah.
If he could putt, things would be different. I'd agree. I think he'd have at least two wins this season.
I'm a big fan of the Gooseman.
Big fan of the Gooseman.
The final nominee is, I'm his number one fan, Sir Cole Rodalyn. Coming into the season,
Mr. Chick-fil-A,
you had heard of him. He was kind of just in the background. He had a few good performances last year, and then slowly throughout the season, the course of the year, improved, and then it all culminated at a win in Ledgestone.
He's an elite player.
Big moment. And the Breakout Player of the Year, Grippy, goes to...
Come on. Oh, should we get, I feel like, drum roll for the first one? Maybe a drum roll for the first Grippy.
Cole Rodalyn.
Woo!
Congratulations, Cole.
Yeah, whatever, Cole. Whatever, man.
On the FPO side, our nominees are Macy Vela-Diaz, another player that, as she's toured more, she has made a bigger name for herself. Allie Smith, player who really broke out at the Kansas City Wide Open, a huge moment for her career.
Mm-hmm.
And Sayananda.
Mm. Sayananda.
Incredible name.
One of the coolest names in disc golf.
True. Yeah. That is a good point.
And this year's Breakout Player of the Year for FPO goes to Allie Smith.
Congratulations.
I feel like the main reason we're giving this one to Allie Smith is, unless you're super into disc golf or her local scene, you didn't hear her name last year.
No.
And this year, I had heard of Sayananda years past. Macy Valadez was making a name for herself. Allie Smith just broke onto the scene completely this year.
Yeah.
Went from not a nobody, but a nobody on the Pro Tour scene to a silver event winner. And a very good career ahead of her, it would look like. Let's move on to one of the most beloved awards, both here and at home for you all, which is the Fyre Fest of the Year.
Oh, I love this.
Fyre Fest of the Year.
You know, to be honest with you, a little bit less Fyre Fest stuff this year. This award was created last year the disc golf actual Fyre Fest.
Yeah, I would say this year's Fyre Fest were way more serious, like as far as what happened, but less Fyre Fest.
Less Fyre Fest. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, that's what I'm trying to
say. They were like less like fun bad, you know? Yeah. They're more just like, ooh, that's actually kind of upsetting.
So the first Fyre Fest of the year is brought to you by Brody Smith, which is the Pro Tour trophies. I'm going to just give you a little insight. We were trying to make a Trophy of the Year award, and I went and found a post that had pictures of all the trophies for the entire year.
Yeah.
And I couldn't find enough good ones to nominate. So we just erased it. We were like, you know what? The Trophy of the Year award probably would have went to Waco.
Yeah.
Or USDGC for the actual trophy.
Next year is going to be an interesting year for the trophies, because we did not shut up about it all year this year. And I know we had to annoy. I don't pretend to think that this podcast makes most of our influence because we just have good ideas. I think a lot of our influence because we just annoy everybody. And I think we might have worn down a lot of TDs who are thinking to themselves like, all right, next year, like, we just got to make sure this trophy looks good, because I don't feel like hearing about it on a podcast. So
we'll see
how it works.
The next nominee, you might have forgot this happened.
Don't forget about it.
The Prodigy lawsuit back in, I believe it was January. Prodigy announced.
So crazy,
man. They were suing Gannon Burr, and it was a whole thing.
Breach of contract.
For months until it was eventually dropped. And it did a lot of negative stuff to Prodigy's brand and brand image. And that was a whole ordeal.
Yeah.
And
it was like the unthinkable that they were suing their star angel player.
Well, at the time of them suing him, he was no longer their player because he had just left.
Yeah,
that was the whole problem.
Right. He said he was leaving.
Yeah, he just made the announcement.
It was an interesting time to be alive in disc golf history.
It was. Gosh, man. And what was the weirdest thing was, I think Prodigy was technically in the right in the legal space.
But everybody hated them.
But it was the wrong in every other space.
Yeah, yeah.
And the final one also came in the courtroom, which was the Disc Golf Pro Tour lawsuits.
Mm.
More so, mainly because everyone lost at the end of the day, really. There was no real winner.
Everybody just cost a bunch of money. Well,
the
Pro Tour side cost money.
Pro Tour lost a lot of money. The United Series was not well received. And then from state to state, it was just weird. It ended up being a very weird season from that aspect. So two lawsuits and then trophies. Fyre Fest, a lot of good nominees there.
Yeah.
But the winner for Fyre Fest of the Year has to go to...
Okay.
The Prodigy lawsuit.
Woo!
I mean, you have a company...
It feels weird cheering for that one.
Yeah, you have a company suing their own player. And again...
And like a child.
Yeah. Again, probably in the right... from everything that's out there, who knows what was actually going on. But you're never winning that public perception wise.
That's what makes this one a
nice.
Larry just getting it. A drum roll queued.
That's what makes this one a true Fyre Fest. Is the PR is just nightmare status. Like, I mean, retailers were selling all of their Prodigy for stock cost. Less. Like people were losing their minds, and it was just insane. It was like the unthinkable, and that the only thing it's. Like, this one did, like, eventually come to a screeching halt and just fizzle out because they just kind of made their agreements, but it was wild. It was a great time.
Well, actually, a great segue into the next award that we will be giving out here at the Grippies, which is the most improved. And we're going to just start it off with the one that makes the most sense here, which is Prodigy's brand image. Because if you remember, like we said, January, things were doom and gloom. It was awful. But then out of nowhere, you have Gannon Burr picking up a few wins. 5 total on the year if you count silver. You have Isaac Robinson dominating. the major scene with the Champions Cup and the World Championship. Mm-hmm. You had Alden Harris picking up popularity as the year went on. You had Ezra Robinson popping off at a few tournaments.
He won, didn't he? Silver?
I believe he won a silver event, yeah. Yes, but did. He got him to mix it more than just that. And by the end of the year, Prodigy's brand image has kind of turned around. Not fully. There are some people that still have a really bad taste in their mouth.
Yeah.
But also during this year, their Chinese factory that they own over there has picked up how many molds they're making, and the quality of Prodigy's plastics also went up.
Things are headed back in the right direction.
By the end of the year, Prodigy is in a much different place than what it looked like they were going to be in January.
Most certainly.
Where Prodigy's actually selling off the shelves again. Not selling out, but like it's moving.
Can't keep it on the shelves.
Again. Isaac Robinson's creator series and tour series stuff's moving, and Prodigy's back in people's bags.
They've done something. They've done the thing where they just overcome all negative perception by having their players dominate with their plastic.
It's very hard to argue when the players just keep winning.
And Isaac Robinson in particular is a very, like, he throws discs and chooses shots different than a lot of other players. So he's that type of player where you watch and you think to yourself, maybe I'm doing this all wrong. Like, maybe I need to be throwing, like, playing the game the way Isaac is. Like, look at the way he floats those putts. Look at the way he dices up with mid-ranges. Like,
yeah.
Isaac might be the guy to bring mid-ranges back.
I hope so. Mid-ranges need to come back.
So I think that's a big part of it.
Next nominee is the Goose Man, Sir Aaron Gossage. We talked about him a little bit. Now, last year, you have to think here, because last year he had that playoff at Worlds. That was kind of his breakout moment. He had a few other breakout moments, but that's his big
career moment. That was kind of like, oh, look, here's this guy, Aaron Gossage.
Yeah.
Nice to meet you.
This year, he became a lot more of a contender.
Oh, yeah.
He was a lot more in the mix. His name became more regular, like, oh, he's a top 20, top 15 guy. And I feel like that's a really good season-to-season most improved candidate there.
He's a line-hitting machine with sneaky distance. Like,
that's a way to put it.
He just throws bullets. He's got that really awesome hyzer flip forehand, but he's got an underrated backhand. If he could putt, man, if he can figure it out. I'm not going to say if he could. Like, if he can figure it out.
He's got an off-season ahead of him.
He's going to be trouble. And the mustache brand thing, it's good.
He could be nominated for most improved again next year.
That guy is a swirling ball of potential marketability. Just saying, because I think he's a free agent.
And I think he's also improving the overall image of geese.
That's true.
That is true. Big for geese. And
the final nominee here is Paul Ulibarri. This is a little bit twofold, because A, his season this year, when it's all said and done, was a lot better than his season last year. But if you look within that, I believe it was like June. He was in like 80th in the tour standings.
Until things went East Coast, he was struggling. Yeah.
He was way out of the tour championship. I mean, I would have loved to see the U-Disc percentage of him making the tour championship midseason.
Yeah.
It had to be like 2%.
I'd have to give Paul Ulibarri legit injury claim of the year, because like disc golfers all the time will claim they're injured. I believe Paul, because he said he was hurting. And clearly, once he healed up, he got better.
Yeah, because in the second half of this season.
Not a fraud.
East Coast swing Paul. We've heard those words before, normally about Macbeth. East Coast swing.
Oh, there's a new Paul in town, baby. When we talk about Paul on this podcast, it's Ulibarri.
He's going into McYuli mode.
And he ended up, culmination of his season, he made the tour championship, dude, which is, in today's day and age, an incredible accomplishement.
And he has a sick truck.
And he has a sick truck.
And
that's
too.
A big deal.
And that is a big deal. It is a big deal. Image is everything.
Yeah, that was actually, I was bringing up the third most improved is his car.
Yeah.
Last year, I heard he was driving a beater loaner, and now he's driving
He's got the Raptor.
Raptor. He was probably driving the Raptor last year. I don't know his car last year.
Paul Ulibarri was a guy who had everything in the disc golf realm. He had the stature, the image, the brand. He just didn't have his game going anymore. Now he's got it all.
He's got it all.
Discraft might need to rethink, put him on that Legends team. He might need to go back up to the old, what do they call that thing?
Elite team.
Might be a reinstatement in order, Bob.
And most improved for the 2023 season goes to...
Good job, Big Con.
Paul Ulibarri.
That's great.
Woo! Yeah, he deserved it.
I love him so much.
He battled adversity through and through, and... I won't say he got back on top, but he got back to the tour championship.
And he's getting married, so the bonus check that comes with this award will help on the honeymoon.
Yes.
Yeah, it's a bonus check.
Oh, you didn't know, guys? Yeah, $10,000.
Courtesy of Trevor Stopp. Trevor will write the check.
That's stop. Right. You guys take
credit
card?
No, stop.
You take
stop.
Credit card?
You're not paying me. You're paying them.
Paul, do you take credit card?
On the FPO side.
Do you take manual labor?
On the FPO side, most improved nominee number one, we have Kat Murch. She was a player who kind of broke onto the scene a little bit last year, and then this year had that emotional win that kind of put her over the edge, and then was consistently a player that going into each week you had to consider.
I will say that I feel like Kat Murch, when she first kind of bursts onto the scene, whenever I first heard her name, I kind of was like, yeah, I don't know if she's ever really going to be that good. Prove me wrong.
Yeah.
She's pretty decent.
Next nominee.
You look stupid right now.
Oh, I sure do.
Next nominee, we have Holland Handley. Last year, I feel like her and Ella, they're both kind of are similar tracks of their career, but they burst onto the scene, but they were just kind of players that threw far, but couldn't put it all together.
Yeah, we gotta, I feel like people probably hate this, like, Ella Hansen, Holland Handley narrative we have.
They're the same players.
Were they the ones that had the bet, too, together? Yeah. Okay, well, they're buying in then.
Yeah.
That's fine.
And then it all culminated where Holland Handley's game consistently improved throughout the year, and then eventually all came together at Throw Pink, the closest thing to a major that's not a major, and big win there. Controversial in hole 18, but a big win. And last but not least, the third nominee for most improved.
Name drop the controversy too.
Is Haley King. This is an interesting one because last year she won a major.
Yeah.
But if you look at last year's season compared to this year's season, consistently drastic improvement. Last year she was kind of all over the place and then won a major, and it was like a bright spot in the weird season. This year, obviously there was a stretch where she was gone, but this year when she was there, you knew she was there.
She
was
legit
in the mix
this
a lot
year,
more.
And she had to fight some injuries. Also, got to consider how good has she gotten at Fortnite this year as well.
That is true.
Got to factor that in.
That is
in.
A really it's good a two point,
fold,
Trevor.
Been
a,
twofold,
seen a lot of streaming clips. So,
that is true.
Yeah.
With that being said, the most improved FPO player of 2023 is Holland Handley.
Woo!
Congratulations, Holland. Well deserved.
Holland Handley is also a cool name.
It is.
For a disc golfer.
It is. And she has that like hammer logo. Kind of like Thor's hammer.
Yeah. That's sick.
All around improvement.
You know what, Holland? I'll say it crossed inbounds.
Our next award, this one's near and dear to our heart here. It is the first of two podcast awards.
Yeah.
Yeah. This first one goes out to the longest podcast.
Longest podcast.
What is
that?
That is not a terrible laugh track.
Not the laugh track I thought it was going to be.
Terrible laugh track.
This app sucks. I'm deleting it.
Our first nominee for the longest podcast is kind of twofold. Longest running and longest running each week, which is Smashbox TV.
Smashbox.tv, baby.
That's the OG disc golf podcast. That's the podcast that made me want to get into podcasting. Terry Miller, JVD. They do happen to go for like 4 hours a week, though.
Terry Miller gave me a hug at USDGC.
Same.
Wow. I got to say, I have seldom felt a better one in my life.
Yeah. Great hugger.
Is that the next grippy goes to
it,
hugs?
Terry Bear hug. Did you read the list?
Oh, sorry.
Sorry.
Oh,
sorry. Our next nominee goes to none other than Brody Smith and Paul Ulibarri of Tour Life.
Well deserved. They worked hard for that.
If you start digging a hole at the start of Tour Life, you'll be on the other side of the planet by the time it finishes.
Yeah. We can tell how long it goes by what time Silas shows up to work the next morning because he was here till 2 a.m.
They be working that boy.
And the third nominee goes out to Dustin's turn on debate night. This was actually nominated by Robbie C. And... if you've watched Debate Night, then it's more so the ratio than it is the actual length.
Yeah, let's start talking ratios more.
Yeah. The ratio of podcast, it doesn't matter.
Do you have like like one of those? Like where the
Yeah,
crowd,
what do you have like on a soundboard over there? Yeah.
That's a
keep
boo.
That one.
That's
kind of a keep that queued up because we might need that.
You might need that. All right, well, longest podcast of 2023 goes to... Tour Life presented by Brody Smith and Paul Ulibarri.
Yep.
Congratulations, guys. You just won your first grippy.
It's so long every time.
They just won their first grippy. Fantastic. Fantastic job on the show.
It's so long every time.
and we're going to take a break here and jump into a fan favorite segment, Trevor's Trivia.
Heck yeah. All right.
What?
Now you're just
put that down.
That wasn't even tasteful.
Put that down. I can't.
Can I click on squeeze toy?
No.
I've got a trivia question that was submitted to me.
Put your phone down.
That I think is quite. I think this is quite interesting. Hopefully it's true because it was just submitted to me and they said they're almost 100% sure it is.
Oh. I didn't know Trevor's trivia was...
Calvin Heimberg.
Okay.
Yes.
Calvin Heimberg did not miss cash this year. What an insane streak that was. Did not miss cash at all season. There is only one other player in MPO that also did not miss cash this season. I will give you... I'll say you can... No, let's just see if you can guess it.
Well, Sexton's streak ended this year because I remember that. He had like one of the longest streaks. This is on the tour. This isn't like some random local
this
guy.
This is on the tour.
One other player that did not miss cash. I'm going to go with Joel Freeman.
Wrong.
Dang it.
You keep, just keep guessing. I just want to see if you can
Connor,
get it.
You got a guess?
I'm trying to think. It's
just,
difficult
just start
for
chucking out names.
Is it Ricky?
Nope.
He missed cash? Where did he miss cash?
I didn't fact check this question, but my source is really pretty good, so I'd hope.
Well, like, does a DNF count as a missed cash?
Probably.
Shouldn't. Didn't finish.
Yeah, I mean.
It's Paul Ulibarri.
Nope.
Just, is it sneaky Paul Macbeth?
Nope.
Let's say. Because I could see it being like a lackluster season, but he was coming like 30th every week or something.
Mm.
He actually was doing a lot better than coming in 30th every week, but anyways.
Ricky did miss cash.
It what event?
Like. Let me make sure this wasn't a DNF. No, that one was a DNF. Let's see if there's another one. I'm just trying to make sure to see if he... Okay, that DNF is being counted.
Okay, well, that's... So, Ricky Wysocki's the right answer, too. So, there's three.
Well, he missed cash.
But a DNF doesn't count. If I break my arm...
Does it count on, like, a streak?
No. Sexton surely DNF'd at some point.
I don't know. It doesn't happen that often in disc golf.
A DNF should not break your cash streak, I don't think.
Listen, I didn't design...
It's not the right... I know it's not the right answer, but I'm just saying... If it does break your cash streak in like the official cash streak ranking, I feel like that's bad. Like if the PDGA, like someone had like a 10-year one and they broke their back in a tournament and DNF'd.
I don't know. Up for debate. Embrace debate. I would say he's probably the only guy that like falls into that category though. So I'll give you like a half a point for that.
Well, that was I felt like that was too obvious because I feel like this question has to be a non-obvious person. And Ricky had a really consistent season.
I literally do not think you would guess this player.
Mason Ford.
No.
Emerson Keith.
This player was confident. The player that DM'd it to me, maybe that's a hint, is pretty confident you would not guess them.
Oh, a player DM'd it about themselves?
Yes.
Oh, that's funny.
They DM'd me saying that they had a Trevor's Trivia submission because they were fairly certain that they were the only player other than Calvin to not break cash this year. And I thought, and they said they could give 100. I bet if you gave Hunter 10 guesses, he wouldn't guess it.
Have I guessed 10? You didn't tell me I only had 10 guesses.
Well, if I said that right off the bat, you would immediately started guessing obscure players. So
I immediately started guessing Silas obscure Schultz. Players anyways.
Silas Schultz.
Joel Freeman's not obscure. What?
Silas Schultz.
No.
Well, but I was like not going top five. How many guesses have I taken?
I'm just thinking of players that would DM you.
How many guesses have I taken? I need to know that. I need to know if I beat this guy.
You've had,
I guess. Joel Freeman.
I gave you a massive hint because I said he DM'd me. I can narrow it down a lot in your head.
I had Joel Freeman, Ricky, which Ricky was right, by the way. So suck it.
That's not nice.
Okay, you don't have to suck it. and then I guessed Mason Ford, and I guessed Emerson Keith.
Okay.
So I got six more guesses.
You're there. Go for it.
Who else would have DM'd you? See, I think there's so many more people to listen to the show than I realize. So I'm just going to ignore that.
Yeah, just ignore that. Getting more laugh tracks over there? Break the silence.
I mean...
I'm not allowed to use them anymore.
Connor, who's on your head? Who's in your mind? I feel like there has to be... Well, because Simon, I think, sucked at a tournament or two.
That's literally what I was about to say. I feel like it could be like anybody that even isn't on your radar could just...
Well, here's a question. What you said, could you make cash at every tournament and miss the tour championship? Yes, if you didn't play many tournaments.
Mm-hmm.
How many turns does this person play?
The whole tour.
Okay, so they're at the tour championship.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So they had to be at the tour championship.
That just made it more impressive.
I don't think you can make cash at every tournament and not make the tour championship.
Is it like Robert Burge?
Mm. He didn't make the tour championship, I don't think.
Correct. No. He did not make the tour championship. But he did play the whole tour.
Who was like on the tour championship that was... Could Sneaky be Presnell?
Nope.
We're going to fact check this person.
It would take you a long time to fact check, probably. I'm not even sure how he came to the conclusion, but it's not on me. It's on him.
Adam Hamm has had some rough up and downs. He was at the tour championship. I don't want to look at a list. I want to just use my head.
So you still have 5 guesses left, right?
I still have 5 guesses.
No, you just guessed another one. You already,
yeah, I had 6. You held, so I just went to 5.
What?
I had 6 guesses left.
Just,
no, I thought you were holding.
You guessed Presnell.
I thought you had held up a 5 and said you'd guess 5, and then you said you had 5 more.
No, I said I had 6 left.
I'm almost positive you said you had 5 left.
I don't know.
I'm almost positive. It doesn't matter. It's taking forever. I'm just going to tell you.
That's what, I mean, if you tell me, then it just ruins the game.
Well, I just don't want to sit here in dead silence for the next 5 minutes while you think through play.
Well, someone challenged me. I couldn't do it. I got to do it now.
Oh, boy. Thank you, Kai.
Who was in like 30th? It's got to be someone down there. They didn't make it. I feel like everyone I know down there didn't make the tour championship.
Thank you.
Connor, you're guessing too.
No, dude, the
His
challenge
guesses
is on
don't
you.
Count for anything.
Yeah, if I put the guesses out, you've got to get it in less than 10. Just start saying players. I feel like the likelihood of you saying someone.
Yeah.
No, because I can't think of anyone low right now. Like, everyone I'm thinking of is in the top 20, and I can remember them sucking at a tournament. It's got to be someone who's just, like, sleeper consistent, we never talked about.
I don't know what the laugh means.
I'll just say Simon Lizotte to get him out of there.
No.
Yeah. Okay. So now I have 4 more.
Is it the Crame Dog?
No, he didn't make the tour championship.
Ooh. No, he might be too. What about the proctologist?
James Proctor actually would have been close. I'd like to fact check that, but
I'm gonna fall asleep.
Hey, you're the one that made this game. That's not my fault.
I did not make this game.
I guess someone DM'd you and you brought it up.
Yeah, I just forgot you're a psycho.
I don't want to lose. I don't like losing.
Yeah,
I'm not going to sit here and lose.
It's not a big deal, though.
Choices.
We got like listeners that want to listen to the grippies.
I got 4 more chances. I don't want to lose. And you didn't give me a time limit.
Trevor, will you scoot a little closer to the table?
Thank you. Just rolled over my cord. Cord myself.
Yeah, because Eagle had some tournaments he sucked at. I have no idea. I can't even think of another guess, much less 4 more.
I mean, I think this is good. We should now be qualified for the longest podcast.
No, I got like 2.5 hours to play with here to get to that level.
While you're thinking, can I present a grippy?
Sure. Please.
I would like to present for the 2023 season. I have a couple different nominees for
Alden Harris. I would like to I'd say Alden Harris.
That is correct.
Nailed it. Suck it, Alden. Get wrecked. You owe me Chick-fil-A.
Oh, I gave him a hint.
I didn't use that hint.
Let me continue.
I looked down at my list and read from his friend group, Isaac Robinson, Gannon Burr, and I was like, did Ezra? And I was like, mm-mm. And I was like, oh, Alden.
Let me continue my grippy. It's a real grippy. I would like to present this year's grippy, our nominees for the Wheel of the Year award.
Okay.
All right. And my nominees are Wheel Shoestrick. He's very close and dear to our heart. Served a long period of time with us, and
yeah, it looks like it looks
Procter
like
missed cash at D-Glo.
Yeah, we were just double checking Procter.
Okay. I just like
I also wanted to check that missed cash twice. That puts it in perspective.
And so yeah, we have nominated Wheel Shoestrick, and then we have Isaac Robinspin, our current beloved Wheel. And
there's another wheel.
The third wheel would be the wheel on the Banter podcast that decides on my phone that decides who the cast for the next week is going to be.
I hate that wheel.
And
Simon Lizotte did not miss cash this year. No, he did OTB. I scrolled past it. Never mind. So really, Ricky was the other right answer. So
I would have.
I guessed it on my first guess.
He missed cash.
Unless you count DNFs.
He went to an event. Fair. He did not cash. I would consider that missing cash.
But he missed the event.
He went to the event.
But he didn't play in all the
he
rounds.
He did not make cash at the event.
What is that, like your actual stance or just the game stance?
It's up for interpretation. It depends on your definition of missed cash. Are you talking about it in this like the actual definition of you missed cash, or are you talking about the disc golf sense? I don't know.
No, like missed cash. Like he didn't miss it because he didn't make it to the point he would have missed.
No, but he DNF'd in the final round.
But he was hurt.
So that is tough. That is a little bit tougher. It's not like
he was. Well, he probably was going to make cash.
Maybe he wasn't though. We'd have to look.
I would say
if you DNF in the final round and you were in way, way back, especially depending
on
where.
But you're hurt.
Okay, but that's the problem is disc golf. If you are about to lose your cash streak and it is the final round and you're way out of
it. Sure, if you're like 10 years in, but Ricky doesn't have a like ongoing cash streak. He's just playing a season and DNF at one event and then cashed everything else.
I'm just saying, I don't necessarily, I respect it. I respect it.
Next.
Our next award is the biggest of the year. The Grippy.
That's the award, the biggest of the year?
Biggest of the year.
Yeah, biggest of the year.
Prepare to get offended. No, player of the year. We'll start with the FPO player of the year because the MPO, we're at a split decision, and so we're going to vote
player
live on
player of the year
isn't
our last award?
No. The most important award's the last award.
Okay.
Player of the year is just to break us back in from Trevor's trivia.
Oh, wow.
I knew it was gonna take a while. Player of the year. We'll start with FPO. It's a little less dramatic. I mean, I don't know another way to put it. Our nominees for FPO player of the year, we have Kristen Tartar, and Case Wizzle Tartar Sauce.
All very good nominees.
I do like tartar sauce.
This is a close one.
And the winner for FPO player of the year is Kristen Tatar.
You jumped the gun a little bit on that
one. The thing, it has
it's
like
so
two climaxes.
Long.
Like it kind of pumps.
So
and then it
is really
that.
Long. I agree.
I don't enjoy it. I think we need to get rid of the drum roll. I thought you weren't supposed to touch the phone anymore.
Can you edit the drum?
Now, player of the year, MPO, the nominees are Isaac Robinson, Calvin Heimberg, and Gannon Burr. And the office has come to a split decision. So, therefore, what we are going to do is everyone grab a piece of paper.
Okay.
I don't have a pen.
And Connor, throw us pens.
I don't... Okay.
He also does not have pens.
There's pens on my desk.
Grab the pens from his desk.
We're going to vote live on air.
Just to be ethical.
Just to be ethical.
I do feel an immense amount of power, because like I definitely have an inkling as to what people are going to vote, and it would just be really funny if like I
do you need a piece of paper?
Shifted it last second.
You got paper?
I don't have any paper.
Connie, don't have any paper? There you go. There you go, Cream Dog.
Don't worry about that, Cream Dog.
All right, so you just write on the piece of paper, you fold it up, you hand it in to me, and then I will read them one by one.
This guy, dude, Mr. Ricky Cash. This is a lot of pressure. I feel like I'm writing. I feel like in that Batman movie, whether they're writing to like blow up that boat or not, this is what this feels like.
Reminder of this year's accomplishments. Essentially, we're going Gannon Burr, most wins, 3 Elite Series, 2 silver events. Calvin Heimberg, decent amount of wins, but most consistent by far. I think his average finish was at like 5 or something crazy. He had the most podiums.
I think it was like 3.8.
Was it 4 or something? most podiums. And then you have Isaac Robinson. Much more up and down season, but 2 major wins. So really, it just all comes down to how do you view the Player of the Year award?
How do
and
you view it?
We're about to find out how the Griplock cast views Player of the Year. The first vote is in.
This is actually the entire Griplock audience voted towards this.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Vote number one
just
goes
so
to
us.
Isaac Robinson. One vote for Isaac.
I won't say anything.
Vote number two goes to Calvin Heimberg. Hopefully no one voted for Gannon Burke.
Then we have to fight.
And
hold on, I shortened the drum roll for you.
He shortened. Okay. How do you do that?
I don't know. The MPO Player of the Year goes. Wow. That was really short.
Good
the
job.
MPO Player of the Year Grippy goes to
Brody Smith.
Sir Isaac Robinson.
Dang it!
Oh, man.
I voted for Calvin.
What do you mean, dang it?
I voted for Isaac. I don't know what y'all
Calvin.
Are doing. Congratulations to Isaac Robinson.
Oh, man.
This year's Griplock Player of the Year. Not unanimous.
Yeah.
2-1. And I voted for him. I don't know who else voted for him, but I voted for him. Because in my opinion,
what do you have to say, Trev?
I voted for Calvin. I voted Calvin to win.
Yeah.
How I view Player of the Year is a two major season is.
I love Calvin.
The season, I can show the visual evidence to prove to
what
everyone.
Visual evidence.
Well, just to make sure someone, so people don't think I just read Isaac.
Somebody's
twice.
Lying, and it's not you.
Well, I was just making people at home might be like, dude, two people voted for Calvin.
Oh,
no. I just read Isaac
yeah,
twice
were,
so that.
No, there no. were two votes for Isaac. I voted for Calvin.
I view it as the season most people would want, and I think two major season is an incredible season.
That is a really good season.
And I think that's what most players would want.
In 10 years from now, like which one's going to get remembered the most, you know?
That is a question you have
to remember. I wasn't so sure. I'm just bringing up the point.
Someone did make a point that if Calvin wins Player of the Year, his season will also be remembered.
Yeah.
Whoa,
that is kind of
checkmate.
True.
That's what I was thinking when I wrote him down.
Let's move on to...
I didn't vote for Calvin, guys. I got to come clean.
Oh, wow.
What? I didn't vote for Calvin either.
Hunter? Just yeah. Your sunglasses, bro.
I voted for Calvin the whole time. Best
Trevor,
shot of the
that's
year.
That's what we should have done. We should have all just said we voted for Calvin and nobody could be mad at us.
No one should be mad.
I don't lie.
They're all mad.
I've never lied before.
Should we get... All right. To those of you typing in the comments right now, so speedy and fast. Listen...
You don't have to explain.
No,
this,
I'm going
this
to.
This take
stop.
Will just be credited to me.
Stop. You got 10 minutes to guess your answers. Yeah. I get this. if Calvin wins Player of the Year this year, I'm not going to be disappointed. It's going to be perfectly fine.
Well, he didn't. Isaac just won it.
I mean it from the Pro Tour.
Oh, you that
could,
little award?
You absolutely can make an argument for him, Gannon, or Isaac, and it's totally fine. I am somebody who believes that winning two majors in this climate in disc golf is unprecedentedly insane. Like, it obviously it's happened before, but not in the disc golf that we know now. I think it's insane. I think it will be remembered much more than just win a season where you podiumed a bunch. I don't think people remember seconds and thirds. And the Player of the Year argument thing, like if he wins, it'd be, but like that's not how it should be decided. Like who had a more memorable season up to the point? That's how I look at Player of the Year. I want it to be much more of an exclamation point and not just like a like there was just a smear of good finishes, but only a couple exclamation points. I don't know. Whatever.
I looked at it as who is the best player of the year. So I looked at whose average numbers come up as better.
But what do you? It depends on what you define as best. I define best as you win.
I define best as whenever you averaged all of his finishes, he was the best.
He but wasn't the best. He was no. losing.
My opinion is you show up. Players show up to win.
Yeah.
People playing disc golf, your goal is to win.
Yeah, I understand.
Isaac Robinson accomplished his goal on the biggest stage more than anyone else.
I think the hardest argument is that I do believe if you ask Calvin, and maybe I'm wrong about this, but I think if you ask Calvin if he would switch seasons with Isaac, I think he would agree, and there's no way a player of the year would want to switch their season with somebody else.
I don't think Isaac would switch a season with anyone.
I agree.
That's where I landed. Best shot of the year nominees. This one's a hard one because there was a lot of great shots this year. On MPO and FPO, and you have to narrow it down to, we have four nominees here. All four nominees happen to be MPO. There is several very memorable MPO shots this year, and we want to highlight the four and give the award to one. So first off, you have to think way back to Waco for this one. Jared Stoll's thumber, hole 17, to reach the green at Waco.
It was so sick.
It was on coverage. It was electric. If you don't know what hole 17 is, it's a dog leg to the right. Typically, it's a very hard two-shot hole par four, and he just said, screw it, I'm throwing over the woods, and he threw probably like a 400-some foot downhill thumber and stuck the green at like 15 feet. Unfortunately, missed that putt. And
that wasn't part of the shot of the year.
That was not part of the shot of the year. The shot got him to the putt for an eagle. That was a shot, nominate shot of the year. Did miss the putt. Side note. Secondary, we have Calvin Heimberg's double throw-ins, final round of D-Glow. I believe one was like 200, almost 300 feet, like 290-something, and the other was like 270 feet, and they were like a few holes apart. It was when he was charging, trying to come back to take down D-Glow. Ended up falling off a little bit towards the end. Didn't get the win there. But
classic Calvin.
The double throw-in was...
That's why I voted for Isaac.
Incredible.
Double throw-in was electric.
Next nominee for best shot, Simon Lizotte's genius throw deep OB at Music City.
Super genius.
He was in contention. Not contention. He was kind of in control. And he figured out, if I just chuck this disc so deep, then I basically have a 10-footer for par.
Definitely big brain play of the year.
And so he just launched a disc 600 feet on a 300-foot hole, advanced to the island, tapped out his par, and moved on.
It's also most confused I've been watching disc golf.
Yeah, it was very confusing, very electric.
What just happened?
And the final nominee for best shot of the year goes to Calvin Heimberg's ace, hole 10, Ledgestone. It was like a 430-some-foot ace. The big thing with this was the moment surrounding it. He was... That kind of started a little bit of a push to try to overtake Cole Rodalin. He got it to pretty close, I think within two or three, before Cole put his foot down and ended up winning the event. But Calvin Heimberg's ace in that
also
moment,
most emotion
shot.
We've ever seen Calvin show.
Yeah, a lot of emotion out of Calvin there. So a lot of good nominees here. And best shot of the year goes to Calvin Heimberg's ace, hole 10 in Ledgestone.
We're so good at those announcements.
Yeah, but the suspense is just the pause, you know.
Yeah. Okay.
People are like, did my podcast pause?
I hear the awkward silence and it makes me uncomfortable, but if it's purposeful, then
purposeful.
Then I support it.
It's purple. Purple.
It's purple. Purple rain. Next, award. We only have five more awards here, and then the grippies, the official end of the season will be over. So let's soak these up.
Let's soak them up.
We have the best performance award. Best performance of the year. We'll start with FPO.
Beyonce.
We have Taylor Swift's Eras Tour. Best performance of the year nominee, Haley King at the MVP Open. You might remember down the stretch, three of the last four holes she's birdied that. Some people were arguing Kristen Tatar gave it away, but Kristen Tatar only gave it away if someone took it, and that was Haley King who took it.
She took it.
Next up, we do have Kristen Tatar at... Well, all the majors. Not one singular one, but all four. something to be said there. And the last nominee is Missy Gannon, final round tour championships. 100% circle one putting. A lot of very important putts down the stretch that could have cost her $18,000.
Big money Missy.
Hit them all. Big money Missy. And the best performance for FPO goes to Kristen Tatar at the majors. I mean, when someone makes history, you have to award them for it.
Grand Slam.
It's the Grand Slam, first ever in FPO to do it with four majors in a season. And she did it in a very dominant season. So I could have just given it to her entire season, but we'll give it Kristen Tatar at majors.
Kristen Tatar.
Best performance for MPO nominees. We have Isaac Robinson at the World Championships. Mm. Pretty dominant performance there. We have Parker Welk, DDO. Parker Impressive Welk. Break onto the scene. Performance takes down the Dynamic Discs
that
Open.
That win is way more impressive now, almost, because at the time it happened, it seemed like the entire tour seemed like anybody could win this year. But by the end of it, even though we did have a lot of unique winners, it was still like the top consistent guys that were winning a lot of the events. So like his win does stand out this season as like the only guy that came out of absolutely nowhere to win.
Emerson Keith's win was close, but Emerson Keith has...
Yeah, he's been around. He's been around. People know Emerson. Yeah.
Next nominee, we have Ricky Wysocki's final round of the Tour Championship. Ludicrous putting performance. 100% circle two, 80-some percent C1X. Just throwing stuff in from all over the place. Insane. And $40,000 on the line. Should we start big money, Ricky? Maybe.
Maybe.
And the final nominee is Isaac Robinson at Champions Cup. That tournament, clinic. Unfortunately, was very boring because of how incredibly well Isaac Robinson played.
That was a clinic.
I don't think you can really say much. If you watch the tournament, you understand. And the winner for MPO Best Performance goes to Isaac Robinson in the Champions Cup.
Woo!
It was, I mean, every time that you'd step up and be like, you know, if he misses a gap, things could get dicey. And then he would throw the best drive of the group every time.
He dominated.
He was basically most holes. If you handed him a disc and told him to walk out into the fairway and place it where his ideal drive would land, his disc was landing within like 3 feet of that every single time for four rounds straight. It was disgusting. One of the best performances I've seen ever. And very deserving of that award.
Honorable mention, Kyle Klein, final round USDGC, where he never gave anybody else a chance to win the
entire
round.
That is a good honorable mention.
It was like one of the most boring final rounds in USDGC history because he just didn't make mistakes.
Until Hole 18.
Until Hole 18, but it was too late. Yeah.
That's what sucks about that one is it makes it look like it was closer than it was.
Yeah.
Like if you just look at it and you're like, oh, wow, got kind of close there. You're like, no, it didn't.
No.
It didn't.
Never was.
It never was. Clutch Moment of the Year is our next award. This is a one Clutch Moment of the Year. So MPO and FPO together here. And we have first nominee, Matty O's back nine at the MVP Open final round. Now, by the end of it, he didn't need to birdie nearly as many holes as he did. But that doesn't change the fact that when he was in the moment, he felt like he needed to birdie all those holes that he did. And he did. He birdied them. Very impressive performance there from Matty O. We have Kristen Tatar, U.S. Women's, to complete her Grand Slam. Not necessarily a singular, this was the clutchest moment, but she walked in there with all the pressure of making history, and she had to win to make history, and several other players showed up. She still got it done and made a very historic season there, and a little bit of recency bias in this one, but Ricky Wysocki, hole 16 tour championship putt. This was a make-or-break putt.
It was awesome.
60-ish footer downhill, 70-some footer maybe, elevated basket. Realistically, he could have laid up, and it would have been a, like, that makes sense type of play. That's not what Ricky does. And after he made it, he got the 80 people that were there really hyped. True. He lost control of his body. It was incredible. definitely a nominee for Clutch Moment of the Year. And the winner of Clutch Moment of the Year is Kristen Tatar at U.S. Women's to complete her Grand Slam. There's just nothing like it. Again, when a player creates history, you got to award them. And going into that weekend, there was so much pressure on her to win that tournament.
Will she do it again next year?
A back-to-back Grand Slam.
What do we call
that? Might just sweep the grippies.
What do we call that?
That would be
the Kristen Slam.
The Grand. It'd be a flex for sure.
Maybe like the Royal Grand Slam. It's like a flush and a Royal flush. It's a Royal Grand Slam.
Yeah.
That works.
Okay. There you go. Kristen, it's up in the air. Royal Grand Slam.
Next up, we have a award close to our hearts here, which is Best Friend of the Show.
Mm-hmm.
These are people who regularly listened throughout the year and reached out to interact, sometimes argue, but most of the time encourage what's going on. We have three nominees this year. After Alden Heron's DM, we might have to make it four, but then I told him to suck it, so it might be back to three.
Yeah, he's not going to watch anymore.
Yeah, he's probably never going to watch us again. But nominee number one, we have Eric Oakley.
Big
Always
Eric.
Been a huge fan of the channel in general.
Shout out to Eric, lost like 50 pounds.
I think it was more, I think 60-something.
60 pounds?
Yeah, I think he went from like 225 down to like 160-something.
He's a beast. Wow.
Yeah, incredible. Also, finally got to meet him, USDGC. Very nice guy.
Very fun guy.
Next down, this one's close to my heart because I still get Chick-fil-A once a month thanks to him.
Okay.
Sir Colward Allen. Really what made him a big friend of the show was when he messaged us on Facebook post him winning and said that he used the bet as motivation going into to Ledgestone. He was thinking
Let
about
me know.
It.
Hit me
the
up
final
if
round.
You want me to doubt you next year. If anybody, any players out there that are listening want me to doubt you next year to use as motivation, I can basically do anything. I'll just say anything.
And it works because anything you say would just be accredited to
me. Let
me
just think, like, who's a player you think could use the boost next year?
Brody Smith.
I mean, all right, Brody Smith, you are not going to win anything next year.
Oh, hot take.
Oh, Instagram.
and the final nominee goes to Simon Lazat. Simon's been a friend of the show for a while. DMs us on the regular about, I forget what the most recent
Easily
one.
Easily my favorite German person.
Yes. A lot of times it's, sometimes it's to correct us. Sometimes it's to congratulate.
Simon's a cool guy.
Best Friend of the Show award goes to.
That was my drum roll with my mouth.
Thank you. Simon Lazat.
Woo!
Big Simon.
Yeah.
Big Si.
No, it can't be big. You already have big.
Sorry, Simon. Can't be big.
Big lie.
Big. Yeah.
Big. Lie?
Big lit.
Big zot.
Big zot. Yeah. Like big zot. I like that.
I like that.
Get it on a disc. All right, and we go from a more fun and enjoyable award to a much more sad one.
Oh.
This is the biggest choke of the year. Biggest choke of the year. Nominees.
Same thing.
Nominees we have, first off, Kevin Jones at LVC.
Too big of a bite.
I don't know if you remember, but that was the event back at the beginning of the season, first event of the year, that we went down the rabbit hole of because he laid up
on that. I don't even think you need to pick an event. I would just say Kevin Jones.
Dude, no, I'll go to LVC. Man. He was in position to win. It could have been a great start to his season. He didn't attack a hole. It was a whole controversy. Brody's on his side.
That's when people first started really hating us this season. We got off to a good start.
Yeah, and how funny is it that it was pro Calvin?
That is
and
true.
Now look at us.
Now look at us. Mm. See, let it be known that we don't show bias against certain players.
Yeah.
True statement.
I appreciate that distinction.
Yeah.
Next up, we have...
They're like, Yuli's truck, though.
Next up, we have Europe at the President's Cup.
Ha-ha.
They came out the gates kind of hot.
Take that, you scallywags.
Seemed a little bit... It seemed like this could be their year, you know? And it wasn't.
Europe, bro.
Probably still won't be next year. Hate to break it to you.
Yeah, and they just announced we're playing flag football in the Olympics in a few years. Have
yeah,
fun.
Welcome to the real football, Europe.
Yeah, enjoy that, Belgium. Your school teachers are up against Justin Jefferson.
Your school teachers. Who's going to guard Tyreek Hill, huh?
Who is going to guard him?
And the last nominee is the entire lead card at MVP Open. Because I don't know if you remember, but...
They thought they were the main characters.
Yeah, Matty O was signing discs for as MVP Open champion while they were on the tee of green of, like, 15. Like, they had, like, four holes to play, and it was already just, like, there's literally no... Like, they had to ace every hole, and they still couldn't beat
them. They poked the wrong bear. It's funny, because all it took was one win from Matty O and, like, a few awesome sound bites for me to, like, I believe Matty O's a winner. Like, he's just like a guy that he'll come out there, he'll sneak up and beat you. And before, I'd have been like, he's the guy who just doesn't win. All it takes is one win. You can change my mind.
Were you the one that said that?
About Matty O?
Yeah, I thought people thought it was my take.
People think all my takes are your takes.
I know. I hate it.
You're my
I had a bad weekend this weekend.
Oh.
I'm sorry.
Why? Yeah,
because of Trevor.
That's my fault. You got a lot of clicks, though.
And that's the worst thing is people thought that I was the one that created it.
Dang, man.
On top of it all. Anywho, biggest choke of the year for MPO. Biggest choke from MPO goes to... The entire lead card at MVP Open. We could have been in for such an electric finish if just
yeah, they really
one of them
choked it for us.
If one of them put their heads on their shoulders and just played some disc golf down the stretch.
Yeah.
But instead, like Matty O could have been in the clubhouse being like, "Did I do enough?
Do we blame this on the 8 holes?
We blame it on whatever made them be 10 cards behind Matty O distance wise, pace of play.
Blame it on Steve Dodge.
I don't think we blame it on Steve Dodge.
Could.
Okay, you want to? Yeah, I didn't
he
think so.
Scared me.
All right, now over on FPO.
Okay.
Biggest choke nominees. First one, we have Ella Hansen at Waco. I don't really want to camp on it too long. It was kind of uncomfortable, but it was Kristen Tatar came back and won, but it wasn't. She didn't really come back and win.
That was like the only choke this season that was like, ooh, like a little tough to watch. Like, ooh.
Yeah.
Kristen Tatar was making that putt to win. You're just like, ooh, like that's an ugly one to have to win.
Yeah. That was, it was one of those where like Kristen, I feel like probably didn't want to win in that situation because it was kind of handed to her.
Mm-hmm.
Next we have Katrina Allen post Europe. I have some theories as to what happened in Europe, mostly regarding water that must have been unsafe to drink or some type of superpower that came to her that was not a superpower. But when she came back from Europe,
pooper power.
It was a different player. She went from like if you the first half of the season, pretty normal Katrina Allen.
Pretty normal.
Picked up a win, was in contention here and there, floating around top 10. Normal like, hey, Kat's a player every week you got to think of in contention.
Gotta think.
And shocking end of the season. Can we use shocking in this context? The entire end of the season?
Sure.
Yes. I mean, we were seeing like
troubling.
28th, 30th, 30th.
No, it's okay. Okay. It's okay.
Yeah. Well, in the context
win,
of like,
though.
At the beginning.
I'd say no, she won to preserve.
Was that post-Europe?
I'm pretty sure.
It was close.
I would say that's actually the shocking thing that happened.
Yeah, that's fair too.
Yeah, I'm throwing it around.
And the third nominee for biggest choke of the year is Natalie Ryan's legal team at the OTB Open. Came out.
Had it in the bag.
Won. She plays first round OTB Open. Pro Tour appeals. Gone. Removed from the course. That's a tough one.
Choked it away.
Mm-hmm.
And the winner for biggest choke of the year goes to Ella Hansen at Waco. It is the only actual choke.
Congratulations?
That's not really...
I can't tell.
Yeah. It was very tough, but hopefully it proves to herself that she can put herself in that position.
I think Ella Hansen she just has to be able to shut the door. Nice person.
Yeah.
Hot take.
What happens, happens.
Yeah.
Now... when you tried to dye your hair pink, it was orange, but that's also not your fault. You had dark hair. You didn't want to bleach it. Who would?
I feel like she had to have bleached it to get it to be where that was at.
No, that's why it turned orange. If I had dark hair and I had to dye my hair for because of a bet, like just as a funny thing, I'm not going as far to bleach my hair to achieve.
But I'm saying,
color.
Like, would the pink I'm hair dye? In, this is completely
I'm
unrelated.
I'm throwing in the pink hair dye, and when it happens, happens. And what happened was it turned orange.
But would it have even got that far? I don't know.
I don't know. We'll never know.
We'll have to dye Connor's hair to find out.
That's a good
point. I already did.
That's not your natural hair?
Mm-mm.
Wow.
Yeah, it's naturally green.
That's like your whole brand.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Naturally green?
Mm-hmm.
Daggone, I knew it. And last but certainly not least, most important award, podcast of the year. We have some fantastic nominees.
I hope my favorite wins.
First nominee for podcast of the year is In the Bag.
It's a good
with
one.
If Brad
good,
and Robbie C.
Best tagline by far. We
if
don't
it's
have
good,
a,
yeah,
don't
it's
have a cool tagline.
Good
catch and they do.
Ours is if it grips, grip locked.
Nope.
If grip.
Nope.
Welcome to grip locked.
Welcome to grip locked.
Foundation Disc Golf's weekly podcast.
Next nominee podcast. For podcast of the year is a new one. Barge the Board.
Barge the Board.
Also a Robbie C podcast.
Uh-huh. Dude, Robbie with C Jason. Is cleaning up, bro. He's like Kanye at the Grammys right now.
Robbie C with Jason. They talk board games. Pretty electric if you like board games. They go over their most recent episode was on Quacks of Quecklenburg, I believe, which was the game we played.
That game.
We played that game.
Mm-hmm. That sounds awesome.
You went to bed early, so you missed
out.
Yeah,
bed boy.
Bed boy.
I like to sleep.
Yeah, we were playing Quack. Very fun game.
Quack.
You can check that out. They have a whole separate YouTube channel, Barge the Board. And the third nominee for podcast of the year is Flexline Trivia. Only lasted for like one episode.
I think there was two.
Was there two?
Two? One or two?
You were on one of them.
Yeah, I was on the first one. I think there was a second one.
Great show.
Very fun show. What happened to it? We don't know.
I don't even know.
Their status really faded.
Yeah. Had they stuck around, might have actually won the award, but instead they just got a nominee. Not to spoil it, but it's not going to Flexline. I'm sorry, Robbie C. Robbie C, though, three nominees there. Good chance at winning.
Wait a second. That's your word.
Yep. I was trying not to make a big deal of it to not
your word.
The podcast, but you
no,
said
no, Flexline's one word.
That's why I wasn't making a big deal of it. Well,
it is one word.
It is one word written as he's written it down.
Well, I'm trying to figure
so it's
out.
It's also one word
I'm
in
trying
branding.
To figure out if you said fade earlier today when we discovered Hunter's haircut, but there's no video evidence.
It's so. Not.
I don't think I did.
Oh, it says they brought it too high, and I said I agree. Flexline was one word in branding. So
that is fair.
Well, I mean, the patrons can decide.
No, I mean, I can't argue against that because it's written down as well.
Yeah.
If you were just saying it, I would be like, yeah, right. But it's written down that way. So therefore, I cannot argue against that.
I've been sneaky trying to get both of you guys to say your word the whole podcast.
How did you never say Matty O? It's a real question.
I just didn't.
That's fascinating. If you're wondering what the heck's going on, I'm sorry that you're not a patron.
I'm really in control of the words I say.
Final nominee for podcast
Dinosaur.
Of the year.
Dinosaur!
Final nominee of podcast of the year is Grip Locked.
Yeah, all right.
They won last year.
They're probably not going to win again.
That's
like,
my
no
favorite.
Way that they defend.
No, I would agree. They really fell off this year.
Yeah.
But
Yeah.
Let's just see.
The Trevor's trivia started taking way too long.
And yeah. I have the envelope here with the name.
Oh my gosh.
Oh.
You're kidding me.
Podcast of the year. I hope we win, boys.
I'm
oh my gosh.
Connor will do it. Hey, guys. Connor will do our acceptance speech if we win.
Okay.
Ooh.
He forgot the speech.
Podcast of the year goes to. And still undefeated, undisputed, Grip Lock.
I didn't know this is gonna happen.
Dude, say the speech.
I just, whenever I think back on all of the things that exist, really in just this universe, this floating rock that we all live on, I would just say that make sure that you never stop remembering and forgetting
Amen. That's beautiful.
Dude, Connor, man, you know how to get a crowd moving.
Yeah.
This guy knows how to work a crowd. Tell him your best joke. That's beautiful. Tell him your best joke.
That's great.
I just, whenever I, you know.
Unreal.
Yeah.
That's Grip Lock, man. That's Grippies. Oh, I can't believe we won again. I was so worried about defending that title. I just
judges, they're tough.
Yeah. I tried so hard all year to get back to this place.
You do try so hard.
And we did it. We did it, boys. We're back on top. We're the only two-time award-winning disc golf podcast on the face of the planet.
Would you say that that's a big flex?
I feel like we need to start putting that in, like, our bios.
It's
like,
a big S line.
It is our Twitter bio.
Oh, my gosh. There's a lot of tears.
There's a lot of tears. It's also our Instagram bio.
He looked at me just streaming down his face.
It's also our Instagram bio. It just says award-winning disc golf podcast. Now I was going to say two-time award-winning disc golf podcast. Thank you all so much for tuning in for a great season. Hopefully you enjoyed the grippies. Hopefully you're excited for the off-season grip locked.
We are. It's going to be electric. You cannot imagine.
Next week starts. Next week will be the first in the bag, which is not the podcast, but a segment on grip locked.
Yes, I forgot about that.
Yes.
Be sure to vote over on. Follow us on Instagram. I don't know what just happened. Oh boy.
You might want to check your recording.
It's still recording because I hear it. Let's just hurry up and end before the power goes out.
Follow us on Instagram. Follow us on Twitter. That's where you'll vote for in the bag. We'll find out what that is next week. If you don't know, we'll see you then.
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded, who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.